This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
You want two dogs?
No.
That's your own fault.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for you. You chose to do it.
Because someone asked me, would you give the dogs up? You could open up the door and they run away and they're healthy and they're happy and you never have to see them again. Would you be okay with that? I would. But my kids would have such nervous breakdowns.
He said, I would.
This is DCR.
Why didn't you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show up here via the Goodyear hotline. We might get the dogs a turtle just to add a little more intrigue into the house right now. By the way, I'm getting tweets. Goldfish and turtles are legitimate pets. Stop it.
A turtle, listen, I had Tortuga for years. Do you know, Tortuga was a hell of a pet.
Get the dogs a turtle?
No, the dogs
get the kids a turtle.
Get the kids a turtle.
Because a turtle's not a pet.
How can you talk down about a turtle? A turtle's definitely a pet.
A turtle is not a pet.
What are you expecting if you open the door? The dogs are just going to go off and find my hamster and live in this you know, animal paradise?
No.
I like turtles.
I think they'd probably get run over like 90 seconds in.
Yeah, so theoretically, I would open the door and they would just run off and be happy and healthy. Because that's what happens usually.
In a utopian society, that would man would be driving down the street and be like, oh, two adorable dogs. Let me take them in until he's in the same dilemma as me a week down the road.
Yeah, that's what my parents told me about the hamster. Oh, he's in a better place. He ran off. I'm sure he's happy wherever he's at.
A farm. They're on
yes,
farms. Big, beautiful farms.
I would hamster walk that farm. Hamster too. No one had a better life than that hamster. They took off.
By the way, you're in terrible shape right off the bat. How should Cuddle Marry Trash be hosted? Rick hosts the old way. RJ hosts the old way. RJ hosts the new way. You are dominating. Congratulations, Rick. 82% early on. Congratulations.
But you're diabolical. People don't even understand how diabolical you are. Because I see what you just did. I come at you, and now maybe it's I'm rubbing off on you with the deflecting, uh-huh. Is that I come after you because Stump Rothenberg, you just sit there and answer questions. There's no
just
extra work.
All I do is just answer questions. Then why do you host Stump Rothenberg on Wednesday, tomorrow?
What's not my segment? You answer questions. What do you mean? That's all you do is answer questions. What else do you do with Stump Rothenberg?
I will host Nobservations and DHIF, and you host Stump Rothenberg.
Well, then both segments will suffer. You do what you do, which is Stump Rothenberg. All I'm saying is I love the segment, but you don't do any extra work for the segment. You just sit there and answer questions. Like, you don't have to go look up stories, like anything like that. But somehow you just twisted this on me where now it's not just I lose either way. Either I have to do Cuddle Marry Trash or I have to do your reads, which means less work.
I've done what I came to done.
Which means less work for you either way.
How about
that? It's amazing. It's amazing how you work.
Dave, just for the record, I don't want to diminish anything that you do on Wednesdays with Stump Rothenberg. I think it's phenomenal radio.
Thank you.
Just putting that out there.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
See, because he doesn't want extra reads. He doesn't want anything extra.
Damn right. I don't.
He's smart.
Dave, you can keep all
he's
of that.
He's laying
stuff.
Up.
You can keep all of it, Dave. Yeah.
He just took a knee is what he did. He just took a knee.
Yeah.
Smart.
Or Aaron Rodgers. Either one.
It's amazing to me, too. I mean, KJZ. I mean, they might as well just have alternating initials. Bart's on there today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for a day off. I had to go to the doctors. They tried to send a Comrex with me to the doctors to do the show. God forbid, I can't even get a day off now.
No.
This is every day, whatever you want. It's amazing to me. I'm in the wrong way. We're doing the wrong kind of radio.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. All right, well, instead of making fun of other shows, can we get into what's going on in the world of sports here? And start out with the Knicks. Here's what I want to get to this hour. There's a lot. I want to get into the Knicks, Yankees, Mets, Islanders, and Osaka. Do you think that we can cover all five topics in the next 54 minutes? Or do you think that's beyond us?
That's really aggressive.
I would do it in 7 minutes.
That's really aggressive.
What are you, like the 7-minute abs guy?
What if somebody comes up with 6-minute abs? You can't even work up a sweat in 6 minutes.
So let's go. Here we go. Let's start with the Knicks. Then we'll go Islanders. Then we'll go baseball. Then we'll go Osaka. Fans, everything. 800-919-3776. Knicks, it stinks. But I think it's obvious at this point they're just not as good. Atlanta's a better team, and you can argue about who's coaching better in this series. Probably goes to Nathan McMillan, but Trae Young is the superstar that we thought he was, and so far in this small, abbreviated postseason run, Julius Randle has been nothing short of horrendous. And you can make excuses that they don't have a point guard, and all that is fine and true, but the Knicks are being completely outclassed and outmatched in this series against Atlanta so far.
Well, Dave, a big part of the Knicks' success this year has been playing harder than their opponents. On most nights, you know that the Knicks are going to come with the requisite level of energy and intensity, and that's going to give you a really good chance at winning basketball games in the regular season. But once we get to the postseason, things change. Everybody plays hard in the postseason. Everybody competes, and everybody tries to be at their best in the postseason. And you're starting to see that from a talent standpoint, when the other team is playing their A game, the Knicks are going to have a hard time being able to hang with them just because they don't have as much firepower, especially on the offensive side of the court. So, I mean, that to me is what has played out in this series against Atlanta over the course of the first four games. And when you're talking about a long series versus just a one-off in the regular season, you start to see that talent wins out in the NBA. I think that's exactly what's happening right now with the Knicks.
Yeah, the more talented team, and they work just, I mean, it's the postseason, right? So, I mean, the intensity level is going to be, you know, equal on both sides. And, you know, what you saw, especially in Atlanta, is the Atlanta Hawks are the better team. They are. I know people don't want to hear that. You had a bunch of people going in, and this is why I was getting crazy with the media, you know, setting the narrative that if the Knicks lose this series, it'd be a disappointment.
What was Carlin telling us when he filled in for Canty that week? If the Knicks lose this series, it would be a tremendous disappointment. That is such a... It's a ridiculous take.
But he wasn't the only one. I'm not going to sit here and pick on Carlin. It was everybody I listened to. I was listening to people that said, well, I don't care who it is. If they lose to the Hawks, even if they lose, I expect them to beat the Hawks and the Heat. And I was like, whoa. What do you mean? Time out for a quick second.
The Heat were in the NBA Finals last year.
Yeah. Like, it's a different ballgame. The postseason's a different ballgame. And usually in the postseason, listen, it happens to great players. It happens to MVPs. Like, teams found a way to shut down Giannis, right? Like, it happens. Teams force you to do things that you're not comfortable doing. They highlight your weaknesses. Like, they're not going to allow you to step on the court and do what you've done the regular season that's made you successful. They're going to try to get you out of doing that stuff. And it's obviously affected Julius Randle, and he's been bad. Better in game four, but still not great. You took out Rose out of the starting lineup, and you saw that's affected the bench. I mean, Chris brought up the stat earlier in the show, which is a great stat. With Rose in the starting lineup over the last couple games, the last two games, the bench is minus 12. First two games with Rose coming off the bench was plus 66. That's a humongous difference. And the bench has been one of your strengths. And unfortunately, with Rose now all of a sudden in the starting lineup, because you're trying to get Julius Randle going and actually have someone that can score points early in these games, is it's affected your bench. And a lot of guys had big nights for Atlanta in game four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Clint Capella had a huge night.
I told you he's a problem.
Huge night, Dave. I mean, yeah, the Knicks really don't have any answers for him, and Nerlens Noel being banged up doesn't hurt things. But, I mean, to Rick's point, I mean, there are a lot of guys from the Hawks that stepped in and contributed. John Collins, who's kind of been a ghost for the most part in the first three games, had a huge game in game four. Huge game. I mean, those guys, Danilo Gallinari, the same way. Not just what he did on the offensive side of the court, but frustrating Julius Randle defensively. Like, those are the guys that have kind of stepped up and really made the games down in Atlanta one-sided affairs. And so if you're the Knicks, you're wondering, okay, now we don't only have to contend with trying to shut down Trae Young, but we got to make sure we shut off the water when it comes to all of these other guys being able to get theirs too. And I think when it comes to trying to figure all of that stuff out, based on the personnel that he has, Tibbs doesn't have any good answers in terms of being able to solve all of the problems.
He doesn't have the answers. He doesn't. I mean, there's too much firepower with Atlanta, and the Knicks don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, the one move that he had was put Rose into the starting lineup. We see what that's done, and I don't know what more there is to do at this point if you're Thibodeau.
Oh, and you saw how that affected Derrick Rose in the second half, too. I know people were like, oh, you guys got to relax. I mean, it's the postseason. He can play these minutes. Don't worry about it. Okay, that gets fine. You can say that. And then you saw in the second half,
That's right.
He was 1-6, had 2 points, and didn't look like he was moving well. So, I mean, again, you guys are right. I mean, this is, you can call in and say Tibbs has been outcoached and everything else, and Randle stinks. It's just, you're getting exposed right now. And sometimes that happens in the playoffs. When you spend it, I mean, when the entire series is geared around, you know, shutting your best players down, I mean, some of the, you know, flaws you start to see those. And the things that moving forward, you're going to have to address. But in game four, there's too many passengers too, man. Like Reggie Bullock, 0 points. Emmanuel Quickly, 0 points. Like, you get, all hands need to be on deck if you hope to win the... Like, if you're going to come back in the series, all hands need to be on deck.
Yeah, I hear you, Rico, but they're not coming back in this series.
Oh, God, there's no way.
Yeah, this series has already been decided. It's just a matter of how many games is it going to take the Hawks to be able to put the Knicks out of their misery. I mean, that's what it is. But, I mean, I think this helps put things into focus for Knicks fans. Like, you're not going to be able to get a false sense of reality of where this team is at. Like, they're in the infancy stages of program building, and they are ahead of schedule, so that's the good news. This season has been wildly a success for Tibbs and for Leon Rose. There's no other way to look at it, even if they do get bounced on Wednesday night. But the fact is, from a talent standpoint, this team has a long ways to go to being able to compete with the teams in the upper echelon of the conference.
I really hope to God that they go out there Wednesday, give maximum effort, get the victory, and at least give the Knicks fan another moment at the Garden, and go down there and probably lose on Friday night in Atlanta. But just go win that game five. That's, at this point, all I'm asking for right now.
Yeah, you're going to get the energy. Listen, they'll definitely come out. They'll fight. I think that Julius Randle late in that game was trying to set the tone with Gallinari a little bit. Like, this is not going to be easy. Like, you're going to...
But it has been easy. But it has been.
But that's been the problem. It's been too easy. It's been, especially for Trae Young. It's been way too easy for Trae Young. And like I would like to see them be more physical with Trae Young. They haven't done it so far. I think Reggie Bullock has tried. It's just that's been the difference, man. Is that Trae Young? And I know this is his first time in the postseason, but I mean, he stepped up.
He is, and he's sensational. I mean,
and he's played well. And you haven't had a good game plan to slow him down. You haven't.
I don't know what you're supposed to do. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, boys, I missed hearing you. I hope you relaxed a little. I understand the weather sucked, but it'll get better sooner than later. With the Knicks, listen. The game, I just want to make one social comment. I'm appalled by the behavior of the fans. I understand why. I think they were just thrown into the breach a little too fast. Still no excuse for the behavior. And basketball, the original basketball were called cagers. It was played in a cage, so fans couldn't get to them. That wasn't the purpose. It was so the ball wouldn't go out of bounds. But terrible behavior. It takes so much away from the game. It's so upsetting. Now, based upon what I saw in the games, I found the point guards for the Knicks. He happens to be on the Hawks. I mean, how would you like to have Trae Young? That guy gets into the paint more often than Benjamin Moore. I mean, he's unbelievable. There's no way you can't get in front of him. And he doesn't play defense, so they allow him to just do what Iverson did. You know, I loved Iverson, but he didn't play any defense. And guys like Eric Snow and McKee, don't worry, just steal the ball, score points. So disappointed, out-talented, and it's what it is. You just don't have a point guard. You could just see the difference right there. One guy gets everybody involved. It's beautiful to watch. I don't like watching it, though, but it's against my team.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Spike, and you're right. I mean, Trae Young's been able to do what he wants pretty much as far as getting in the paint, facilitating the offense. But, I mean, that's the team is constructed well, Atlanta, as far as the pieces that they have. I mean, it's Trae Young, and they surround him with a bunch of shooters. This is what they've done. And in the last couple of games, games 3 and 4, guys were making shots. Like, Gallinari dropped 21 on you in game 4.
Well, I mean, they're wide-open shots. If you're a decent shooter and you have a wide-open look, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have a big game.
Yeah, and I mean, there's spurts, right? Like, you had that 15-5 run in the last game. You can just see it. Like, it's because the Knicks possession to possession, like, getting good looks.
Scoring for the Knicks is a chore.
Scoring is difficult. It's a chore. You're right. It's a difficult. I mean, at one point during that game, and I was like, I can't believe it happened, is Reggie Bullock and R.J. Barrett are coming down on a 2-on-1, and Bullock...
Oh, is that when Bullock traveled?
Bullock traveled.
Yeah, that was like, remarkable.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we even get into the Islanders, would you like to hear the call of what it sounded like right here on 98.7 ESPN last night?
I'd love to hear it.
Well, here is the call.
Cizikas on a breakaway. Casey skates in alone on Tukarask. Shoots. He scores! Casey Porzingis, a breakaway overtime game-winning goal! The Islanders win it 4-3!
How does he get his voice so high?
I think it's just natural. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's on purpose.
No?
I think it's just how it is.
It goes up like 8 octaves. He could be in the opera.
Yeah, that was low for him. I mean, when he initially said that Cizikas scored, like, that was low, and then that's when then all of a sudden all hell broke loose. And he got back to, like, the, you know, if David Wright and Mickey Mouse had a baby kind of.
Why don't you try to replicate that call? Could you do it?
No. No, I can't get my voice like that.
There's no way Chris possibly could. Yeah.
No shot, Dave.
Ask him.
No shot.
You hear how deep my voice is?
Yeah.
All the bass in this voice?
No chance.
I mean, that is something else, though, huh?
That's his calling card, man.
It's like he's got a tank of helium next to him.
It's what separates him.
Him and Pat Mahomes.
This is oh, my God. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yes. Thanks, fellas.
But that was a stumble. My voice didn't go up 9 octaves. This is oh, my God. Uh-oh.
That was like puberty. Puberty just all of a sudden hit.
It's like that Brady Bunch episode. You don't remember that, do you?
No, I didn't.
No.
Uh-oh. When Peter's voice was changing as they were about to sing in the competition, they didn't know what to do.
That's a big concern for the... I mean, when the voice starts changing, like, that's a big concern. Boys choirs and everything else?
You're being serious, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm being serious. That's a big concern. Voices start changing. It's no good.
What do we do with Johnny? His voice
changed. All of a sudden he went from a falsetto. We got issues here.
Now he's a baritone. All right. So, Islanders led 3-1, and you felt great. Now it's 3-3, and you could argue that if they would have lost that game, the series is I mean, they're in monster trouble. And
well, timeout. Would they be in trouble? Yeah, they'd be in trouble.
Come on. You think they're going to beat Boston 4-5 games? If they lose that game last night after blowing a two-goal lead in the third period, they're in huge trouble. No.
Well, remind me. Where were the first two games played?
Stop it.
Well, just remind me. I'm asking you a question.
You know exactly where they were played.
Okay, so the Boston
would have taken
care of business.
Let me ask you this. If the Islanders lose that game in overtime and blow a two-goal lead in the third period, they're not in huge trouble in the series now?
I would have spun it more positive, like they lost on the road, now they take care of business at home. I in all honesty, I don't know how other Islanders fans felt. I did not expect them to come out in overtime and win.
Mm.
Usually that favors the home team. When you give up a two-goal lead in the third period on the road, and now you go in with all that momentum and you go into overtime, it usually doesn't play out well for the road team. But I give them tons of credit, man. I give them tons of credit.
They are a resilient bunch, man, I will tell you.
Yeah, that's who this team is. I mean, they found a way. And if I could have handpicked the one Islander to score that goal, it would have been
Casey.
That was
some goal, too.
Oh, it was awesome. And that's what happens. The offensive blue line, you turn the puck over, bad things happen. And he comes down, and Tuukka Rask is a really good goalie. And he buried it. And that's huge. I mean, you steal back home ice, and now we're headed back to a rowdy collie. And I want to give credit, too, to Borelli's. Borelli's is over by, I don't know if you've ever been there before. It's a really good Italian spot over by the Islanders practice facility.
Yeah, I thought it was by Coliseum, no?
No, Coliseum, but it's over by now. It's right before you take a left to get to Eisenhower, the practice facility. So Frankie and his dad were so frustrated with what happened in game one and that Pasternak scored, had the hat trick, mm-hmm. that they took pasta off the menu. They were not.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I respect that.
Only antipasta. No pasta, only
I like
pasta.
That.
I respect that.
That's very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's serious.
And see what happens?
Yes, that's what happens. Although you do need to find a way to slow down their top line a little bit.
That is some line, though.
Oh.
But if you put
you couldn't. I mean, could they have waxed poetic more on the broadcast? I mean, Pierre Maguire might as well have been sitting on the Bruins bench.
You want to talk to some of your Islanders people, by the way?
Yes, now, please.
All right, let's go. Mike in Queens. And you run point here. Mike, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. I just wanted to say a quick yes, yes, yes. Obviously, feeling real good this morning. You guys touch upon the resiliency, so I guess we can skip over that. But the only two things I really have to say, I'll bring them up and I'll hang up and listen. But I thought there was a couple tough missed calls out there. I know it's, you know, playoffs and I'm all in. But
which one, Mike? The one where Mayfield got cross-checked in the back of the head?
Yeah, I mean, give me a break.
That's a joke.
So there's a couple of tough ones there. And then, Rick, I just really wanted to hear from a player's perspective what that Coliseum advantage is like. I mean, obviously, I've been to a bunch of playoff games, especially recently. But from a player's perspective, when you win a game like that on the road, coming back to the Coliseum, I mean, is the locker room nuts? Like, what's going on? Like, what are you guys talking about? And, you know, how does that feel? So, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Go Isles, and I'll listen.
In all honesty, what you're talking about is, I mean, game three is what you're talking about. You know, I mean, enjoying the moment. Like, that plane trip back, you'll enjoy the moment, but you realize that, I mean, you still got a lot of work ahead of you. I mean, the Boston Bruins are a really good team. And that line, I mean, that line of, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak, that's as good as it gets in the NHL. And they've had, unfortunately, a lot of success here in the first two games. So that would be that would be the conversation I was having, is how do we find a way to slow this line down? And I think it'll help being at home, because you'll have a better chance to match up the lines.
Let's go to Jack in Farmingdale. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Jack. What's up?
I'm doing good, thanks. Just a quick question. I know the Islanders base themselves off defense. What do you guys think they need to do better to be a little bit more defensively sound? I think they've kind of struggled in the past few games. Thanks, guys.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, too. I mean, the Boston Bruins are a good team, and that line's a hell of a line. I mean, now that the addition of Taylor Hall, too, I mean, that's a good offensive team. I think, like I just mentioned, I think it'll help now that you're at home that you can start matching up, you know, pairings, like the D pairing. You want Pulock and Pellock on the ice when that line's out there, you know, what forward group you want out. And the other thing, too, is, and it drove me crazy, you can't take, in situations like, you can't have a too many men on the ice penalty. You can't. I mean, that's a mistake you can't afford to make. And luckily, they got away with it. I mean, they ended up scoring on that power play, but, I mean, again, to steal a win at the Garden was huge.
Rico, who's in net game three?
Varlamov.
Yeah.
It's got to be Varlamov.
I would think so, right?
100%. Yeah. Hurley texted me that after game one. He's like, hey, who do they go to? I mean, it was easy. They were. I mean, he's your starting goalie. So they went back to him.
Yep.
He played well, too. He made some big saves last night.
Oh, he was really good last night.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Where are we with the CMT for next week? Will you still be hosting?
It's going in a direction that Rick's not going to be happy with.
Uh-oh.
Currently. Yeah,
what's happening?
Is right. Or as Dave Rothenberg would say.
Uh-oh.
70% Rick hosts the old way, and once you figure out he has 70, the other percentages aren't too relevant. So that's where it's going.
That's terrific. The listeners will be very happy.
Yeah, at some point the poll could just crash, though, and then the results just don't mean anything.
How could you possibly crash the poll?
You don't know. I mean, I've been known to do some hacking in my free time.
You might hire an intern, Dave.
Yes. That's right.
I'm getting Rodney on the phone ASAP.
I don't know that Rodney and all his knowledge could hack this this poll. You're going to be hosting CMT next Tuesday.
Rick is going to outsource and hire an Apple store to take this poll down. All of them. They'll all be working on it in there.
I don't understand. The people are clamoring for more of you. They want you to go back to hosting CMT, and you look at that as a negative. Explain how.
No, I'm just letting people know. Sometimes you got to know your limitations. Like, I mean, putting Derrick Rose in the starting lineup, like, at a certain point, like, enough is enough. Like,
diminishing returns.
Spreading you too thin, is that what you're saying?
Yes, diminishing returns. Exactly right, Christopher.
Yeah.
It's a Virginia education. I love it.
It's not Harvard, but you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Another excellent point.
Yeah.
Us Harvard guys.
Yes, us Harvard guys.
I got to get a Harvard shirt to wear on the
radio. Why'd you get a Harvard tattoo?
Why would I go from a Harvard t-shirt to a Harvard tattoo?
I feel the tattoo would fit you more than the t-shirt. Just saying.
I mean, you're a fan of the tattoo. Why don't you get a Harvard tattoo? Spell it wrong, though. I think that'd be great. H-A-R-V-E-R-D.
Harvard. No, I spell like you say it. Harvard.
I don't think you'll do it.
No, you're right. I won't.
No, I don't think you would. Chris, Yankees, major problems here. 5.5 games behind Tampa. Completely stymied by Rich Hill. Tyler Glasnow on the mound tonight. Where's your concern level?
It's up there, Dave. I don't think it's a break glass in case of emergency situation, but we've lost four straight and six out of the last seven. And I want to say 9 of the last 12 games, the Yankees have scored 2 runs or less. I mean, it's a problem. I mean, offensively, they've been challenged, to say the least, and the issues become compounded when you have the kind of fielding errors that we saw over the weekend in Detroit from Urshela and Torres. And then, you know, the base running blunders from Gary Sanchez and others. Like, at some point, you got to start playing clean baseball. You got to be fundamentally sound. especially if your offense is still trying to get its act together. So, I mean, I'm concerned. I thought they would have an opportunity to kind of, you know, get in a little bit of a groove over the weekend versus inferior competition to feel good about their games going into a huge week where you're playing against division rivals in the Tampa Bay Rays, who you have a four-game set to and you drop the first game, and then the Boston Red Sox as we get closer to the weekend. Like, this is a huge week for the Yankees to gain ground on the two teams they're looking up at in the division, and it's off to a terrible start.
You know what's amazing to me, though, Dave? Like, in saying all the things that Chris just said and how bad they've been offensively and, you know, really the starting pitching and
dreadful. Yep.
I mean, that's really what's kind of kept them afloat has been the starting pitching. And the defense, for the most part, when they went on that 23-9 run, was good, right? And then,
Yeah.
But some of the things you saw in the Detroit series, you know, that third inning with the three errors and base running and everything else, which has been a problem, hitting into double plays. What I thought was the most interesting, though, after that game was some of the stuff that Jameson Taillon said about the Rays. Because I think a lot of Yankees fans are asking themselves, how do we spend all this money in a team like the Rays? I think they're, what, $80 million right now?
Mm-hmm.
How do they just run our show every time we play? Like, how do they own us? Like, why is there such a disparity right now? Like, why are we spending all this money and not getting the results? And some of the things that Taillon said after the game, as far as, like, their lineup, making adjustments mid-game, like, you know, searching for, you know, certain pitches, you know, certain parts of the plate. But then what I thought was interesting after the game, too, he said this. He said, they do a lot of things really well throughout the lineup. They got a good mix of speed, good mix of right-hand and left-hand hitters, a mix of power, a mix of contact, and a mix of patience with some aggressive guys. So they throw a bunch of different looks at you. It's a grind. They're a tough lineup. You can't, like, that. That's really the opposite of what the Yankees have right now as far as the lineup is concerned.
Yankees are strikeout or home run. There's no speed, right? Outside of really good hitters, what do you have, LeMahieu and not a ton more, maybe Judge.
Well, LeMahieu hasn't been great.
Judge, yeah.
That's been part of the problem.
But typically you look at him as a good professional hitter.
Yes, over the last 2 years he's been one of the best hitters in baseball, yes. Just pure hitters in baseball, yeah. This year, not so much.
No, and the Yankees have real holes. I mean, center field is an issue. Brett
Left
Gardner
field.
Playing often is an issue. I mean, if it was me, I would put Andujar in the lineup and I would just leave him there.
He can
why
hit.
Why send Floreal down?
That's like, a at least great, he has that's a great question.
Like, at least
great
he has a different
week.
Element.
Yeah, he looked great last week.
Like, what do they do well? Like, offensively, what do they do well right now?
Not much.
Like, but you've seen a team like the Rays are a great example, right? Like, and you heard what I just said about the Rays lineup. That's from Taillon. But even watching the Mets. Like, Dave, me and you are big Mets fans. With the injuries that they've been dealing with, they've been still, I mean, with the lineup, and it's not even a major league lineup, they've been still able to cobble, you know, different ways.
That's right.
To score runs.
They have found ways to win. And you know what? Look at what the Mets did. Colorado stinks. And the Mets somehow found a way to win 3 out of 4 and 3 in a row against them. Then all of a sudden against Atlanta and an Atlanta team that gives you trouble, you hammer them. All the Yankees needed to do was win 2 out of 3 against Detroit, and it wouldn't be nearly as upsetting to lose a game like yesterday to Tampa. But now all of a sudden, 2.5 is 5.5.
Well, you scored 5 runs in 3 games. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of series like that, right? I mean, that's...
But how are you scoring 5 runs against Detroit in 3 games?
And the Mets scored 13 on Saturday.
Swept the Braves.
They played 1 game, but
right.
Well, still swept
the Braves. The Braves got some of their own issues going on right now. With this whole Ozuna thing and everything else. I mean, the reality is right now, I mean, when you look at where the Yankees are offensively, they have as many runs as they've scored as many runs as the Orioles.
I guess my question would be, how does it get better, though?
But that's the million-dollar question. I don't know how it gets better, because Voit's going to be out for an extended period of time. So right there, I mean, you still haven't solved your first base problem.
Stanton getting back right should help.
If he gets back, he looks lost. I mean, I guess he was some of his awful. at-bats yesterday were a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But he has some of the most non-competitive at-bats I've ever seen.
Yeah, but about a month ago, though, that dude was carrying the offense.
But isn't that what I said about him, though? That's the problem with him, though, is once he gets going and you're like, okay, here we go, he gets hurt.
That's true.
And then he gets healthy again.
Start back from square one, right?
Yeah, and he starts to get, it takes him a while to get back.
Yep.
And then maybe he'll get back, you know, tease you, and then all of a sudden he's back on the IL.
Let's take a listen to Aaron Boone. Are you concerned about the struggles of one Giancarlo Stanton?
He's been back a couple days. I mean,
right.
You know, so G will be fine as long as he's healthy and, you know, starts to get his reps going. He'll be fine. You know, he actually just missed the ball off of it, you know, and got in a 2-0 count against Hill, too, and just missed one up to left center. So, you know, it's fair to say he's probably dusting off some rust right now. But, you know, as long as he's healthy, he should round into form here.
Yeah, you hope.
Know.
Yeah, you can't. Like, he played one game, and then you sat him. Like, that's what we're doing with this team.
Well, I don't think you can afford to do that kind of stuff now.
But it's not like you're eight games up and you're
coasting to the American League East.
But that's where they're at, Dave. They have no choice. Like, yeah, they need him in the lineup. Like, they needed him in the lineup that game after he played his first game because they've been struggling. But they sat him because they're trying to keep him healthy. And for some reason, he actually, watching these games, he looked bigger to me. Like, he looks bigger now than before he got hurt.
He's a bigger guy now?
He looks bigger. I don't know if he's wearing a tighter. You know, he looks humongous.
He is humongous. He's huge. Let's go to Bert in Brooklyn. Bert, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. How you guys doing, man? First time caller. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you making the call, Bert.
Yeah. I just got two things to say. In terms of the Knicks fans just need to be happy that the Knicks made it to the playoffs off the bat. I mean, they were irrelevant in the basketball spectrum for such a long time. So I think it's a win, them getting to the playoffs, and they just got to build on that moving forward. I wanted to also touch on the Lakers. The Lakers is not in so much trouble with Anthony Davis going off. I think the most that they have to do is just realize that LeBron has to evolve his game. Him standing with the ball and trying to create isn't as effective as he thinks it is. I think if he has the ball on the move, it takes a lot to stop him getting to the basket. That's all I have. Thank you,
guys. If they don't have Anthony Davis, I think they're in huge amounts.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
They're not gonna beat the Suns. If they don't have AD healthy, they're not going to beat the Suns. Not the way that DeAndre Ayton has been playing. The guy is 20-10 every night.
Isn't that amazing, though? We're sitting here talking about a Lakers team that won the championship last year and arguably have the best player.
He's the best player in the world.
Right. And without AD, without a compliment to him, they're in big trouble.
Big trouble.
And we're sitting here talking about how, you know, the Knicks, they have it's Julius Randle. It's not LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's by definition, isn't that what the postseason is in every single sport, though?
Stars.
No, but it's because in the postseason, that's when you get exposed. It doesn't matter the sport. It's like, I mean, watch, the Super Bowl is a perfect example, right? Like, they got the best player in the sport at quarterback, but his offensive line is all banged up. Offensive line is bad. Defensive line for Tampa is good. They get exposed. Like, that's what happens. Like, Lamar Jackson, MVP of the league. You can't throw outside the numbers? We're going to expose that. Like, right now, the Knicks are getting exposed because everyone is at a, like, intensity level is ramped up. So, like, what they hung their hat on as far as we're going to outwork you in the regular season and take advantage of the fact that you're not really, you know, taking the regular season as serious as we are, that's a wash in the postseason. Everyone's playing equally as hard in the postseason.
It goes completely out the window. You're not playing harder. You're not more motivated to win. They raise the level of what they do, and we see. There's nowhere for the Knicks to go.
But that's why you need stars, though, is because they play above the X's and O's. Like we're sitting here talking about, you know, Tibbs is getting out coach. Well, you don't think he's a great defensive mind. You don't think he's drawn up different ways to slow down Trae Young? Of course he is. That's his job. Unfortunately, they can't do it because Trae Young's that good.
He is that good. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
That's you, Dave.
You know what? I don't understand what we're supposed to do.
Strike one.
Four callers. I was very nice about it. The last four callers. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on the show. We're great. Continue along. Mike, we're doing well.
I want that clip, RJ. Awkward silence. I want
the
a clip.
The floor is yours. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, so I just wanted to touch base and see what you guys thought about the fan interactions and the NBA and what you think the league should do, just because it's not one isolated incident. It's stuff that's going on across the league, and I don't know what they can do more outside of just making a public statement, but at that point, you know, who's your audience? And I don't think the people that are running onto the field and the court are really listening to the league. Thanks.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, it's obvious that they're not listening. It's happening almost every night.
I mean, what more can you do other than increase the punishment that you get for doing stuff like that, Chris?
Well, I think the teams need to try to work with law enforcement, Dave, and try to prosecute people that do this at these games, because they got to send a message to other fans, but also to their players, that they're going to do everything that they possibly can to try to create a safe environment for them to do their jobs. And right now, I mean, it's it's become increasingly clear that these incidents are picking up with the level of frequency, and fans are becoming emboldened by it. Like, we live in a day and age where everybody's seeking out their 5 minutes of fame, and this is one of those ways to get it. Like, that fan in Boston, or the fan last night with the Wizards-Sixers game. Like, they're all engaging in these types of behaviors, and all of this puts the players at risk. So the NBA has to do something to try to stick up for their players and protect them. And to me, it means not just banning the fans from the arenas that do these types of things, but trying to work with local law enforcement and try to prosecute these individuals, these perpetrators.
And plus in the NBA, too, I mean, the proximity. I mean, how close the fans
are to
the action and the players. Like, right there.
You're right there.
I mean, that guy that spit on Trae, I mean, he's feet. He's a couple of feet from Trae Young.
Went right by 50 Cent's head.
They actually spit on 50 Cent's girl.
Yeah.
Like, in the moment, she didn't realize it was like what kind of person spits on people? Like, what are we doing here?
Who does that, though?
I don't know. It's almost like they're so caught up in the moment that they don't know what the other option is. Like, they're so into the game and so frustrated, like, that I'm
going to spit on him?
I don't know. I mean, that's like one of the most disrespectful. That's the most disrespectful
as it gets. Spitting on someone?
Yes. Yeah, so like open hand slap and spit. I would put spitting above open hand slap.
Agreed.
And Carlin got open hand slapped by Berman.
Man, he just took it.
He turned around and was like, oh, back. is what he said. But now, you know what? And I know this is probably a weird way to look at it, but running on the court, as awful as it is not the same as what a lot of these other people have done, at least in my mind.
But like, that's still scary, though. But you don't know what the intention of that person is, man. Remember the situation in baseball where the first base coach got attacked?
Well, by the father and son?
Yeah, like, you don't know what the intent, like, you don't know how crazy that person is or what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Like, we've seen crazy stuff happen. Go back, I mean, with Monica Seles.
She was stabbed.
Yes. Like, I mean, crazy stuff has happened. I mean, Ty Domi. Remember Ty Domi, the fan fell into the penalty box? Remember the glass came? Gave through? Which I'm sure at that moment, Ty Domi was like, good. Like, this guy's going to get a beating now.
Yeah. That fan was falling like, oh, God, no. Now I'm in the shark tank.
That's the last thing. That's one of the last people you want to fight is Ty Domi.
KJZ coming your way in about 7 minutes and 35 seconds. NBA fan problems. And the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the topic of conversation. And guess who, Rick, and I have a feeling you'll know because you look at the rundown and cheat every day. Guess who's going to be on KJZ at 9:10 this morning?
Ooh, 9:10. That's 9:10. A prime time hour right there. I'm not going to cheat. Why don't you tell me?
You have no idea.
No, I'm not looking.
All right.
Give me a hint.
One of the voices of a local basketball team.
Peace. Ryan Rucco.
There you go.
Yeah, you give me sound. You start giving me sound help.
Well, yeah, I would think if you can't figure it out by that point, then you got major issues.
I will say this, though. Like, just in completely not related to what the fan did in Boston, because I think that's disgusting. Like, that's, like, you know, KD said, like, it's out of pocket. Like, well, I don't know what you're trying to do there. If I'm one of the Celtics, though, and Kyrie did what he, like, they were all too embarrassed. Like, can we agree that the Nets were all too embarrassed the Celtics in that game?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did. I mean, the starters out there. I mean, that game it was a blowout. And then, like, I know people like that don't play sports. Like, oh, what's the big deal? He just stepped in whatever he did on the logo. That's super disrespectful.
He did it to make a statement. He didn't do it by accident. He knew exactly what he was doing.
No, of course he did. But that's really disrespectful. Like, in sports, like, I used to have coaches that. You'd get fined if you stepped on a logo in the locker room.
Mm.
Like, you couldn't go near it. Like, if your jersey touched the ground or you stepped on on the logo in the locker room. Like, Dave, you've seen the clip of Tortorella snapping when the reporter stepped on the logo in the,
absolutely,
in the locker room?
It just to show you how opposed I am to that, when Terrell Owens did it to the Cowboys and ran out to the logo at midfield and slammed the football down, I was bothered by that. I think it's as disrespectful as it comes.
Now you see what George Teague did to him right after that, though.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Yeah. So,
but that's why you're doing it, though. You're doing it to be disrespectful is why you're doing it.
Well, we know exactly why he did it. Here's Kevin Durant on the Irving water bottle incident up at the Garden.
fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic, got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we not animals. We not in a circus. You coming to the game is not all about you as a fan. So have some respect for the game. Have some respect for these human beings. And have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't be proud of you throwing water bottles at basketball players or spitting on players or tossing popcorn. So grow the f*** up and enjoy the game. You know, it's bigger than you.
He's 100% right. It is amazing the fans go to this extent. You want to boo, you want to scream, you even want to, you know, start cursing. I guess that is all okay. But when you start becoming physical and violent and throwing stuff at the players and spitting on the players, you have way crossed that line.
I don't know if it's just fans, though. I think it's just people in general. Like, I mean, you see some of the things in social media and everything. I just don't, I mean, it's just... Just generally, I think there's a lack of respect.
How many videos have you seen over the last month where people are just walking down the street of New York City and somebody just walks up and punches them in the face?
Oh, Rick Moranis got sucker punched, didn't he?
Yeah.
Look what happened to Yamamoto's wife. I mean, Chris, you mentioned this earlier in the show. Just like, you know, people and like when they go to, I don't even care what the form of entertainment is. I think they lose sight of the fact that they're watching other human beings.
Mm.
And it's like they partially like it's. They dehumanize them. It's like, you're here to entertain me. And we don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, well, more has to be addressed so that folks understand that when you are at these venues and you are, you know, watching an entertainment product, like, you have a certain responsibility, a certain obligation to behave in a certain way. You can't just go there and act a damn fool. You can't.
Like, I wonder if it affected their team, if it would curb some of the behavior. If it had a negative effect on their team,
I don't know how much that would though, Rico. I really don't.
Well, it feels like they're trying to do it to help their team.
I think they're just doing it to make themselves feel better, whatever that entails. Like, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to get off my chest. And there are a lot of fans in Boston that feel a way about Kyrie. That's why Kyrie was preemptive in his statement before he went up there and played this weekend. But I mean, listen, man, something has to be done in order to get fans' attention to make them realize that this is not acceptable. And I'm sorry, but Danny Ainge, what you had to say this weekend doesn't help the matter. You saying in 26 years you've never witnessed or anything like that? You've never heard players talk about the racism that they experience being in that area? Come on, man. You got to cut that out. If players are saying that it's happening,
yep,
then you have to acknowledge that as truth and try to do everything that you can in order to make sure that that's not their reality moving forward.
Boston is notoriously known as that kind of a town. All right, Santa, you have a lot to choose from today, so let's go with your three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Oh, Dave, I wanted so badly to consider putting Jacob deGrom here, or maybe the Islanders, the great call from Chris King to series tied 1-1, but you kind of forced my hand by giving me another one of these moments.
Go to Mike in Queens. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
That's right, you, Dave. That's you, Dave.
For the record, another 3 seconds of silence.
Yeah, that was longer than mine. I don't understand. That was way longer than mine.
Shut up. The last five callers prior to Mike all said, hey, how you doing? And I answered every single one. And then Mike has to call with the same ridiculous introduction. We're doing great. Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it.
You don't
number
get
two.
Out,
listen, don't thank me. It's all your own doing. You got to...
All right. Listen, no days off.
This one's not entirely your doing.
Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
I just love the follow-up.
Get the dogs a turtle?
No, the dogs
get the
don't
kids
eat a turtle. Get the kids a turtle.
The turtle's not a pet.
There's no chance that you didn't know that that's what he was referencing there, right? You're just playing along.
Listen, I'm a talent, and I like to add levity to the show, and yeah, at that moment, that's what I was doing.
I like turtles.
If Casey Cizikas is the number one star or Jacob deGrom, I'm done with the show.
You may be done with the show then.
Number one.
Number one, as of right now, the Twitter poll has 121 votes. You're leading the way, Rick, with 72.7%. Even if the other two were combined, RJ's never going to host the CMT again. It's all you, buddy.
What a mistake that was. Keep your mouth shut, Rick. Welcome back, dummy. Oh, by the way, can I also mention about the whole fan situation, too?
Oh, of course you can.
Well, no, like, we have these expectations. Let's not forget that, you know, people in Philly ate horse poop when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Fans will take it to any length. But listen, if you want to eat horse poop, as
I'm so jacked up right now, I need to eat this horse poop.
As repulsive of that as that is, you're affecting yourself. When you start throwing things or spitting on people or attacking the player, that crosses a line that just cannot be crossed. Cannot be.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, I make mentally, like,
yeah,
that you're not all there when you start eating
the horse
poop.
They will go anywhere. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow morning. And for now, it's rule a 76.
No excuses. Plague of Champions, DiPietro, Kathy Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.